Gummer of a Golden Gate. This is Tabeelpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our chilly, foggy studio in San Francisco's Presidio. Today is Thursday, the 1st of August, 2013. On this date, in 30 BC, Octavian, later to be known as Caesar Augustus, enters Alexandria, Egypt, bringing it under the control of the Roman Republic. In 1834, slavery is legally abolished in the British Empire. In 1914, the First World War starts. 1943, PT-109, PT boat. Lieutenant John F. Kennedy is instrumental in saving the crew. 1944, the Warsaw Uprising starts. 1961, Six Flags Amusement Park opens between Dallas and Fort Worth. 1966, purges of intellectuals and imperialists becomes official China policy at the beginning of the Cultural Revolution. 1972, George W. Bush is suspended from flying in the Air National Guard of Texas due to not showing up. In 1980, Vigdís Finn Bogadóttir is elected president of Iceland and becomes the world's first democratically elected female head of state. 1981, MTV launches. Birthdays are Moby Dick author Herman Melville, smart French guy Pierre Bourdieu, guitarist dude Jerry Garcia, and smart gangster Coolio. He is 50 years old today, by the way, played in Pilharmonia back in the day, for those who are around. Today it is just me, Mark Mullen. Sorry we were gone last week. We really were in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, so we've got a double this week. But luckily, it being July and August, not a whole lot is going on. Thanks for posting on our forum. To comment or ask an opinion, follow up on a topic, go to tabeelpod.com or send us an email at tabeelpod@gmail.com. Just so you know, we've been putting up Tabeelpod posters at youth hostels. So for any of you recent hostel stayers who have seen the ads, email us at tabeelpod@gmail.com and win a fabulous prize. All you need to do is let us know the name of the hostel you stayed at and something of interest to travelers. We get more and more communication from summer travelers coming through through Georgia. Or let us know things about Tbilisi that you figured out by the time you left but wish you'd known when you arrived. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about Russia, for a change, how Putin and homophobia are starting to become deeply intertwined in Russia, and all the new laws that are showing up related to homosexuality, as well as Russia and Putin's coordination with the church, the Russian Orthodox Church, on his visit to Ukraine. On the 27th of July, the United National Movement held its final round of primaries in Tbilisi, which UNM minority leader of the parliament, Dato Bakradze, won. Bakradze has won all six of the primaries, and so he is UNM's official candidate for the presidential election in October. During the primary in Tbilisi, a protest rally was held outside, and one protester was arrested for attempting to block the entrance. On the 21st of July, Bakradze won the fifth presidential primary, which was held in Batumi at the Sheraton. Protesters gathered and threw eggs and stones at the UNM members. The police detained two people, including Mehrab Gorgodze, a registered presidential candidate in the October presidential elections and former political prisoner. The other detainee was Mehrab Gokhaveridze, who attempted to break through the police cordons. On Saturday, the 20th of July, Bakradze won UNM's fourth primary in Zugdidi. Protesters carried hoes and spades, shouted at them, and threw eggs, stones, and bottles at UNM members. The police detained 12 protesters, charged them with petty hooliganism, and fined them 100 lari before releasing them. Later, Georgian Dream issued a statement which said that the party and its activists had no connection with the incident in Zugdidi. National Security Advisor Giga Bokeria criticized the police for its inadequate actions in Zugdidi and Batumi. On the 30th of July, Bidzina Ivanishvili expelled Georgian Dream Party member Zal Todua from the party for throwing stones at UNM members in Zugdidi. The party statement reads, quote, "Our party, as members of the ruling coalition, is responsible for conducting fair elections. Taking into consideration this fact, the party warns each member and supporter to abstain from aggressive actions. The Georgian Dream, Democratic Georgia, will use strict disciplinary measures," end quote. The U.S. ambassador to Georgia, Richard Norlin, congratulated Bakhradze on his victory. After the announcement of the results of primaries, Bakhradze said that holding primaries was innovative. He also called on Mark Velashvili for debates, one-on-one. However, Mark Velashvili refused one-on-one debates with Bakhradze, saying, quote, "It is quite normal if a presidential candidate is willing to hold debates. Debates will be constructed in a format where all presidential candidates will be given an opportunity to state their positions. Let me stress once again that the Georgian Dream will adhere to that standard. We are not meeting exclusively with anyone, but everyone will be given a chance to express their opinion," end quote. There's a rumor that Irakli Alasania, the Minister of Defense, might leave his post and name himself a presidential candidate. I don't know if that's going to happen. The chairman of the Defense and Security Committee, Irakli Sesiashvili, called the rumors stupid. Kaka Kukava, leader of the Free Georgia Party, believes that Alasani will resign and run for president. In that case, Kukava said he would support him. Now for some more October election-related stories. 2.1 million lari will be allocated from the state budget for seven parliamentary parties. An additional 1 million lari will be given for non-parliamentary parties. The political parties funded by the state budget are as follows: UNM, Georgian Dream, the New Rights Party, the Georgian Way Party, the former party of Zurano Khaideli, the Christian Democrats Satellite Party, the Christian Democrats, the European Democrats, People's Parties, Kartuli Dasi, National Democratic Party, the Labor Party, and Free Georgia Party. The Refugee Ministry is preparing to recount the number of IDPs in order to prevent election fraud in the November elections. Refugee Minister Dato Darekhvelidze said re-registration is compulsory and it will start from the 1st of August. IDPs who fail to re-register will have their social allowance suspended. The most recent data from the ministry is from April 2012, and it shows that there are 266,000 refugees in Georgia, or more correctly, IDPs, internally displaced people. Foreign Ministry stated that Georgian citizens who are staying abroad and who want to participate in the upcoming presidential elections must register at a consulate or with a CEC before the 6th of October. On the 22nd of June, the EU and Georgia concluded negotiations for a deep and comprehensive free trade area as part of the association agreement. The association agreement, together with the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement, or DCFTA, as it's called by those in the know, will provide for Georgia's closer political association and its economic integration into the EU. The Comprehensive Free Trade Area, negotiated in just 17 months and 7 rounds, will see Georgia gaining better access to the EU markets for its goods and services. Yeah, it was pretty quick. Let's see how that association agreement looks, and let's see what the DCFTA finally ended up looking like. On the 26th of July, an anonymous caller informed the parliament's staff that there was a bomb in the building. The parliament was quickly evacuated. Later, the police discovered that the report was fake. The person who made the call, Omar Panchulidze, was fined 3,000 lari. In an interview with Rustaviori, Panchulidze explained he made the fake call because he was angered after not receiving answers from either the Ministry of Health or the parliament, which he had written asking for money to finance his bladder and eye surgeries. Los Angeles Times published an article with the title, quote, "Monument to Soviet Dictator Stalin to be Restored in Georgia," end quote, which says that the Ministry of Culture decided to restore the monument in Gori Central Square. The statue was taken down 3 years ago. In response, the Ministry of Culture issued a statement denying that it had issued a permit to erect the Stalin statue. The ministry's official statement was that this was the prerogative of the Gori municipality. They said, quote, "The ministry is working on a new concept for the Stalin State Museum, which will enable visitors to see clearly the Soviet regime's brutality," end quote. On the 23rd of July, Aslan Abashidze, the former leader of the Azerbaijan Autonomous Republic, arrived in Batumi. Family members and his supporters met him at the airport. 2 months ago, he founded the movement dignified ajata with Bidzina. He said the purpose is to finally defeat the previous authorities. He continued, quote, I am ready to assist Bidzina Ivanishvili, though I will also fight independently for a better future, end quote. However, he stated that he did not have any political ambitions. Yeah, this is bad news. It would be good if he were tried. He's a really bad individual. Just made piles and piles of money through corruption related to the export of fuel, where he would just take money for every train car of crude oil that would come from Baku there through Ajata. He would take a little bit of money, and then imports that were coming into Georgia, he would take money out of the central budget by having those goods repackaged in Ajata as a domestic shipment that would then go on, and just made piles and piles of money, bullied people, beat people up, particularly election observers, rigged elections. He's just a real scuzzball, and really, if they're looking at, trying individuals in the previous government under the UNM, they should certainly look at Aslan Abashidze. Okay, two bills that Misha vetoed were signed into law by Parliamentary Chairman Datu Zupashvili after the bills received a sufficient number of votes to override the veto. The first law changes the Public Broadcasters Board. It will reduce the number of board members from 15 to 9, and it will change the process of how they're chosen in order to exclude the president. The second law makes it so the Prime Minister, not the president, will appoint the 5 members of the National Energy and Water Supply Commission. On the 26th of July, Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili was appointed Deputy Prime Minister of Georgia. Presidential candidate Georgi Margvelashvili stepped down from his post in connection with the upcoming presidential elections in the country. The new Education Minister, Tamar Sanekidze, dismissed Deputy Education Minister Dato Zurabashvili from his post and offered him instead a post as her advisor. He rejected the offer and told journalists that it was a blow not only to him but to the Republican Party. He considers his removal from the post an attack on the Republicans. On the 20th of July, Misha accused Bidzina of receiving $2 billion U.S. dollars from the Russian government in the sale of his Russian assets. In return, Misha claims the Kremlin now wants BI to destroy Misha. He also said that his government would have been better positioned to tackle these issues because, unlike the current government, Misha's administration owed Russia nothing. In response, the head of the press service of the Prime Minister, Manana Tokmajishvili, declared that, quote, all assets were sold at a price 10 to 15% lower than the market cost, end quote. BI started to sell his assets last year, including Rossiski Kredit for $352 million U.S. dollars, the drugstore chain Dr. Stolitov for $79 million U.S. dollars, and for developer assets for $982 million U.S. dollars. In September, an agricultural corporation was sold to an American investment fund for $180 million U.S. dollars. Interesting to compare those with his official income declaration as prime minister, by the way, which is online. On the 30th of July, Vladimir Bedukadze, the author of the infamous prison abuse tapes, filed a lawsuit against Misha for slander in the Tbilisi City Court. Bedukadze said, quote, Misha has repeatedly called me sadistic, violent, and an executioner. I demand he take back his positions expressed about me through the same media outlets, end quote. On the 23rd of July, Imedi TV reported that the National Forensic Bureau is offering a virginity inspection service for 175 lari. It's twice that amount if you need your virginity proven quickly. In response, on Tuesday the 30th of July, Georgian feminists and supporters held a rally in front of the National Forensic Bureau. The rally was in favor of women's freedom to choose, and it decried the issue of virginity certificates. About 20 to 25 activists were in attendance. There were an equal number of onlookers and journalists. In addition, a small group of pro-virginity or anti these demonstrators, religious zealots, anti-LGBT, including Georgi Gavidava, a former political prisoner, stood nearby protesters attempting to intimidate them. The National Forensics Bureau has released an official statement on their website that they only do forensic examinations regarding sexual crimes. They do not issue virginity documents. On Tuesday, the 30th of July, protesters gathered near Turtle Lake over the removal of greenery from 2,500 from a 2,500 square meter plot. All of the surrounding territory is a protected recreational zone, as was the plot in question, until it was downgraded and auctioned off by the mayor's office in 2011, specifically for the building of a two-story restaurant. This would happen all the time with park space, and was almost always very shadowy, and I would be very surprised if there was not money being passed under the table. The company that received this plot was linked to the former UNM Member of Parliament, Archil Gegenava, who, for those who don't know, started out, made his first funds back in the 90s as a loan officer for Bank of Georgia, which was back in the 90s in Georgia, for those who remember, an extremely lucrative position in terms of kickbacks that could be collected. He then ended up being the UNM Member of Parliament for Tatsminda, but lost in the elections several months ago. The ownership has changed hands a number of times, but all of these companies are linked to Gegenava. Despite the law, which requires a billboard he put up to inform the public about ongoing projects, a sign of the destruction was only installed a day in advance of the greenery removal. In response to protesters, the company stopped the work on the site, and the shrubs, which were dug up, were placed back in the ground. It was reported on the 31st of July that a prisoner, Georgi Khutsidze, nailed himself to a chair by his genitals. His sister, Christine Khutsidze, is demanding a meeting with the director of the prison. On the 25th of July, six prisoners from Ksani Prison No. 15 went on a hunger strike. People infected with AIDS, hepatitis C, tuberculosis, and other diseases demanded a review of their cases and proper medical aid. Earlier, 31 inmates at Rustavi Prison No. 17 also went on a hunger strike. Two prisoners sewed their mouths shut in protest. Georgian Ombudsman Uchananoashvili visited the hunger-striking prisoners. He said their demands are reasonable and urges that action be taken. On the 21st of July, a parish in the local diocese of Zestaponi held a rally against the Archbishop of Margveti and Ubisa Diocese, Vahran Akhladiani. Participants in the rally nailed the archbishop's door closed in protest. He is accused of misspending the diocese's funds. Participants of the rally called on Ilya II to withdraw the archbishop who has been serving in Zestaponi for the last 9 years. According to the Patriarchate, a special commission will study the topic and present the materials to Ilya II for a final decision. The police arrested an Iranian citizen who is suspected of killing an 18-year-old girl in Batumi on the 22nd of July. The police suspect that the murderer wanted to steal her jewelry. Huh. Let's hope that that's a good investigation. Rumors about former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's possible appointment as an advisor to Bidzina circulated after MP Tedo Japuridze and Tiniko Khidasheli met with Rice during their visit to the United States. Rice's office denied the reports. Bidzina said that the information was incorrect, but said that he would be glad if such a politician as Rice became his advisor. The UK has a new ambassador to Georgia, Alexandra Mary Hall Hall, succeeded Judith Goff, who headed the embassy since 2010. She left several months ago, but Judith Goff is now the head of the whole region, very senior position. Executive Director of the Millennium Challenge Corporation internationally, Daniel Yohannes, and Georgia's Foreign Minister Maya Panjukidze signed an agreement on allocating $140 million U.S. for the development of the education system. The grant funds are intended for improving the quality of human potential and the development of human resources through investments in scientific and technological development. World Bank is funding a $60 million U.S. dollar program to support competitive and inclusive economic growth in Georgia. devil's in the details. Interested to know how they plan to do that. Anybody knows, let us know. Finance Minister Nodar Khadouri said the World Bank's financial assistance will be spent on increasing the competitiveness of the Georgian economy, creating jobs, and reducing poverty. That's good. The allocation is part of a three-year project. In June 2012, Georgia received $60 million in the first part of the program. Deputy Interior Minister Levon Izoria announced that due to an increased number of car collisions, the Interior Ministry has decided to strengthen controls on transit trucks passing through Georgia. Trucks will need to have a tachograph on them to register how far the vehicle has driven, at what speed, and how many breaks the driver has taken. Otherwise, Izoria says, they will be fined 500 lari. According to the data of the National Statistics Department, 65 investigations are launched for road accidents, and two-thirds of them involve transit trucks. After UNM lost its majority in the Tbilisi Sakrabulo, members of Georgian Dream Coalition dismissed the deputy head of the Tbilisi Sakrabulo, Mamuka Khledyani, and the heads of 13 commissions, all of whom are members of the UNM. Former UNM member Irakli Shikhiashvili was appointed chairman of the Sakrabulo. Georgian Dream member Georgi Mushkelishvili was elected first deputy of the Sakrabulo. Shikhiashvili made a public statement promising to make every effort to achieve maximum cooperation with Mayor Gigi Ugulava. Following up on the story about the four high-ranking Tbilisi City Hall officials who were accused of embezzling 48.9 million lari between November 2011 and October 2012, they were released after paying 10,000 lari bail each. The defendants have admitted their guilt and promised to cooperate with the investigation. The government is considering using the former U.S. Embassy on Atonelli Street near the dry bridge in Tbilisi as the presidential residence after the October presidential elections. It's unclear what would happen to the current presidential residence in Avlabadi. Minister of Infrastructure Dato Narmania said that the new president's office will be a modest office with a staff of 240. On the 20th of July, heavy rain caused flooding in several regions of Georgia and Zugdidi municipality. More than 20 villages were flooded. Ureki and Shekhvetili were also affected. The first floors of hotels and houses were completely flooded. The damage caused by the rains exceeds 1 million lari. From the 22nd of August, the Ukrainian airline Belavia is planning to increase the weekly numbers of flights to Tbilisi. Additional flights will be made on Mondays and Thursdays between Tbilisi and various cities in Ukraine. Georgian Railway added a new train consisting of four coaches to the Tbilisi-Makhinjauri route, which is really Batumi, offering passengers 300 additional seats. The train departs every day from Tbilisi at 7:30 a.m. and arrives in Makhinjauri at 12:52 p.m. Train leaves for Tbilisi from Batumi at 5:40 p.m. and arrives at 10:55 p.m. In parliamentary news over the last 2 weeks, on the 25th of July, Parliament passed the first draft of a bill that would suspend foreclosures on private homes until the 1st of February 2014. It was immediately criticized by the economy minister, as well as Bidzina, and it was put on hold. The whole thing was fairly ill-considered and came out of this Human Rights Eka Beselius Committee. Let's see where it goes from here, hopefully nowhere. Following up on the Human Rights Parliamentary Committee report on the 17th of May, the majority of the Commission's members supported the conclusion despite remarks by various human rights NGOs, which focused on the police's negligence in counter-demonstrator violence. The report says that none of the statements made by the Patriarch's office prior to the 17th of May were advocating violence. The document also hails the role of the police on that day. On the 27th of July, Parliament passed the second reading of an amnesty bill exempting from criminal liability those who were involved in illegal surveillance and gathering of secret recordings of the private lives of citizens, and those who voluntarily handed over such recordings to the authorities within 3 months. Sponsor of the bill, Human Rights Committee Chair Eka Beselia, said the draft, quote, applies to those persons who have committed a crime involving illegally obtaining family or private information before the 31st of December 2012, meaning we can get whatever we want right now. Following up on the moratorium of the sale of agricultural lands to foreign nationals and foreign companies until the 31st of December 2014, a follow-up bill was introduced that would suspend land status changes of agricultural land into non-agricultural land, which is the bright idea that I can imagine showing up at this point. Public defender Ucha Nanuashvili delivered his annual human rights address to the parliament, in which he discussed the multiple grave crimes and human rights violations in 2012, especially the torture in the prison system. Look forward to hearing what he has to say about 2014. The geocapital number for this week is 10.4, which is the percentage of Georgians that report having, quote, a great deal of confidence in the European Union, end quote. According to the World Value Survey, to compare Turkey, in Turkey it's 8.4% have great confidence in the EU. In the EU, in France, that number is 5.1%. In Great Britain, the number is 4.4%. In Germany, the number is 2.2%. Interestingly, Georgians have far more confidence in the EU than almost any country that's actually in the EU, excluding Cyprus with 13% and Romania with 12.8%. The meme this week comes from the protests outside the National Forensics Bureau. The religious zealot Gheorghe Gabidava, who stood around attempting to intimidate protesters, also took photos of the protesters. This wonderful photo, taken by Gabidava and posted on his Facebook page, is of Jobs.ge founder Lexo Hubalava, national hero, giving Gabidava the finger. To see the photo, check the forum. Things to read. An article by Galdava and Florian Biermann entitled, quote, Economic Lessons of the Week, the Strategic Diploma of the Tbilisi Marshutka Drivers, from the Financial. A paper by Lado Papava, titled On the Vector of Economic Development of Post-Communist Georgia, sounds like a Papava title, which discusses issues pertaining to the direction of development of Georgia's economy since independence. A paper by Christian Tim called Economic Regulation and State Interventions, Georgia's Move from Neoliberalism to State-Managed Capitalism. Article in the Economist entitled, Is Georgia Really Committed to European Values?, which comments on traditionalism in Georgia, the role of the Greek Orthodox, the Georgian Orthodox Church, and arrests of UNM officials, and the lack of police protection for minority rights. And The Muteli Dialogues by Tara Isabella Burton in the New Statements, in the New Statesman. All these things to read are posted on the forum. This week's English language movies at the Rooster Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament are on the 3rd of August at 5:30 p.m. Turbo, on the 7th of August at 7:30 p.m. Wolverine. Glad to see they're going for quality. Tickets cost 10 lati and 50 tetri. There are no Kolga movies this week. The European Alumni Association of Georgia is seeking a coordinator. For those who are interested, the organization promotes information exchange between Georgia and the EU. It's a full-time position, will be responsible for fundraising and grant writing, leading membership drive, publicity, and organizing events. The applicant must be highly organized, self-starter, able to communicate with senior-level officials, must speak English and Georgian. Those with modest professional experience are encouraged to apply. Send an email to eualumnigeorgia@gmail.com with the subject line EAAG Coordinator. A one-page resume and a 100-word note in English on why you're qualified. Radharami launched its most recent Georgian translation, the critically acclaimed Work Hard, Be Nice by Washington Post journalist Jay Matthews, with events in both Gori and Ruisi. Both events were well attended, with about 40 participants each, including teachers, school directors, students, and local government officials. Radharami translates innovative bestsellers, nonfiction books into the Georgian language, and then engages readers With events, discussions, and presentations, the goal is to bring new ideas into the Georgian public sphere, especially the people outside the capital. Past events have been in Zestafoni, Achaltziche, Batumi, Choni, Tel Aviv, and elsewhere. By the way, the author of Work Hard, Be Nice, Jay Matthews, may end up visiting Georgia in the coming months. So stay tuned and make sure you check out that book. Go by a bookstore, pick it up, give it to some friends if you are not a Georgian speaker. The think tank GRASS, G-R-A-S-S, is launching a very cool new data collection presentation mechanism called factcheck.ge. The purpose of the tool is to check all quantitative and specifically economic-related data being thrown around by politicians. Former Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Sergei Kapanadze, and a very good guy, is director of the think tank. The site will be presented to the parliament next week and will be open and free to the public soon after that. So stay tuned. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbeelpod.com. And we will finish with Aretha Franklin's 1967 hit, Baby, I Love You. If you